You might have heard by now that the Mega Millions jackpot lottery has reached $330 million. That's a third of $1 billion. And maybe since you don't mess around with the opportunity to win that paltry double-digit millions, that $330 million figure has piqued your interest. Your odds of winning the Mega Millions jackpot are said to be about 1 in 176 million. The reason the jackpot is so high is that nobody has picked the right numbers in a couple of months. But people are playing, even during these tough economic times. We wanted to talk more about that, so we've called upon Rommel Mustafa. He's done research on lotteries and the people who play them. He's a visiting assistant professor at the Olin School of Business at Washington University in St. Louis. He's speaking to us from there. But for additional perspective, we've also called Richard Lustig. He says he is a full-time lottery player. He says he's won 7 grand prizes in Florida, and he's written a book called Learn How to Increase Your Chances of Winning the Lottery. And he joins us from member station WUCF in Orlando, Florida. Welcome to you both.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Nice to be here as well.
Now, Professor, you were telling me earlier that there's research that shows that actually as the unemployment rate goes up, the lottery receipts also go up.
That's right. Although in this recession, lottery sales actually fell at the height of the recession, the sales are back to the 2006 pre-recession levels. So it seems the industry is turning around.
I was going to ask you, you know, who plays the lotteries? There is a perception that the lower your income, the more likely you are to play and to devote a larger share of your earnings to the lottery. Is that true?
Yes. A national survey that was carried out in 1998 and found a household with income less than $10,000 spent on average $597, while a household in the income bracket, say, between $50,000 and $60,000 spent less than half of that amount on average. So this is really unfortunate because, you know.
So you're saying, so people with low incomes actually do, in fact, spend more. It's not just that they spend a larger share of their income, which is low to begin with. You're saying they actually, in fact, spend more money.
What we know for sure is that they're spending, you know, a higher percentage of their income on lotteries than do the rich.
And you're saying that's unfortunate because?
Because that means they're cutting back on basic necessities. And there's a research that shows that, you know, when lotteries are introduced, households cut back on expenditure on food and rent. And this is much more pronounced for low-income individuals.
Now, Mr. Lustig, how did you start playing the lottery? As I recall, you were never poor.
Well, yes and no. I was not poor, but I wasn't, like, rich. I was a normal person out there just like everybody else, you know, making a living, surviving. And when the lottery was introduced to Florida 22 years ago, I started buying tickets like everybody else, with no rhyme or reason, just hoping to win and getting excited when I would win $5 or $10. And after a while, I said to myself, you know, there's got to be something that you can do to give yourself a better chance of winning. So I started sitting down and making notes and saying, well, what if I did this and what if I did that? And as I increased these thoughts and developed the method, at that time I didn't even really realize that I was putting together a method, I win my first lottery game grand prize. Then I won my second and then my third. And by the time I won my fourth grand prize, now I knew that I had a method and it was working, even though most everybody else said, you just got really good luck. And I'm saying, well, you know, believe what you want, but I believe that I have developed something here.
Okay. And how much have you won overall?
You know, I have not actually kept a running tab, but I've won a couple of million.
But
so
you're doing
far.
Okay.
Oh, I'm doing more than okay. I'm having a ball.
And you drove your Jag to the studio.
Yes, I did.
Instead of the Harley that
That's correct.
You also bought with your winnings. Well, let me just ask this, because obviously you've written a book about this and you want people to buy your book. Could you just give us one technique?
Sure, absolutely. One of the things that I do talk about is scratch tickets. If you're going to play scratch tickets, pick a game that you want to win at. Stick with that one game. And a lot of people don't do research. See, people think this is all just fun and games. And if you're just playing to have fun and games, none of this matters. But if you're playing to seriously win, it's a job. And you have to be willing to put in the time and the effort to make the job work.
Doing what? Scratching? I don't understand. What are you putting time into? I'm sorry. I'm not making a spreadsheet or what?
When a lottery system comes out with a scratch ticket game, there are going to be only so many tickets printed that are going to have a grand prize. So let's say there are 10 grand prize tickets that are going to be out there, and the grand prize is $150,000. What you've got to do is you've got to be willing to do some research, go online, check the website. Find out if the game that you've decided you want to play still has any of those grand prizes left. they may have all been discovered already, and then you're playing a game that you're never going to win because there's no grand prize tickets left.
So this is all discoverable information. This is not secret stuff. You don't have to write a Freedom of Information request to get this. You can just
That's
go on
exactly
the website
right.
and figure this stuff out. Okay, Professor Mustafa, when you hear this, does this concern you, or do you think it's just fine if you can afford to play and you're not, you know, betting the rent?
If you can afford to play, you know, it's your choice. Now, there are all kinds of strategies. Suppose we take Mr. Lustig's example that he provides in his book. Your odds of winning are 1 in 24 million. If you buy 10 tickets of the same draw, your odds are 1 in 2.4 million. So you'll still bank on significant amount of luck to win.
If you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More from NPR News. We're talking about why people play lotteries, particularly during a recession when they have less money. Rommel Mustafa is a visiting assistant professor at Olin School of Business at Washington University in St. Louis. He's researched the question. We're also speaking with Richard Lustig. He says he has a method for winning the lottery, and he's got the winnings to prove it. Mr. Lustig, you know, the question I think that I would have, and, you know, I'm not driving a Jag, so who am I? But you have another career. For example, you've run a national booking agency for 20-some years. And I think that some might say, well, that's fine as a hobby, but the time and energy you've invested in this method, you might be equally successful doing what else you were doing.
You can be successful at anything you do if you're willing to put the time and the effort into it. And, Michelle, let me say this to you, because this is important, because once or twice now, both you and the professor have used the word luck. I want to make this very clear. 20 years I have worked on this method and developed it. It works. I'm not aware of anybody who has won 7 lottery game grand prizes. There are people out there that have won 2 or 3. So luck has nothing to do with it.
Well, Professor Mustafa, go ahead. I want to hear from you.
Let me jump in here.
Yeah.
Mr. Lustig, in his book, you know, you said that, you know, you can't guarantee that anybody's going to win. You know,
of course not.
Even if they follow your strategy, right? So there is, you know, significant amount of luck involved here. If you have a lot of money, you could buy a lot of tickets for a single draw. And for each ticket you buy, you could choose your numbers strategically. And you could improve your chances for the draw. And you might just get lucky. And if you win the jackpot, you'll have a lot of money, and then you can repeat your strategies, and who knows, you might get lucky again. But given what we know about dire financial conditions of the poor, so I'm going to relate back to the research that we have done, I'm quite skeptical as to how the poor might use these strategies to increase their chances of winning lotteries. And often it is the case that once they get their biweekly paychecks, they'll spend some money to buy a couple of tickets for a draw, and once
Professor.
They get another
let him finish, Mr. Lustig,
okay.
Let him finish.
Another paycheck, they'll buy a couple of lottery tickets for another lottery draw. So there might not be much of a scope here for strategizing. And what our other study shows is that when these small amounts that they keep on spending on playing lotteries, if they were able to aggregate these decisions, taking into account of the long-term impact of buying lotteries, they tend to buy less lotteries.
You're saying that people put together, particularly if you're of very low income, if you put together the money that you spend on lottery tickets, you'd be better off spending it on something else? Is that what you're saying? Because you can't really improve your odds that much because you just don't have enough money to really do it. Is that what you're saying?
That's one. And the second thing, you know, I want to make it very clear that my comment should not be misconstrued as a statement saying, you know, the poor shouldn't play lotteries. Because who am I, after all, to make financial decisions for others? But what our study shows that if they were to take account of these long-term effects of buying all these, you know, lottery tickets, they would not buy it.
Mr. Lustig, you had something to say. You had a final thought.
When you're buying lottery tickets, it's like an investment. Most people, they buy a $1 ticket, they win $10, they get all excited. What do? They put the $10 in their pocket. They go out and buy another $1 ticket. I tell them, no, don't do that. Buy that $1 ticket, because apparently that's what your budget was allowing you. But take the $10 you won. Let the lottery buy you 10 more tickets. Now you've got 11 chances at winning. But if I lose, I lose $11. No, you didn't lose $11. You only lost a dollar. I mean, again, yes, in the beginning you said, was I poor? No, I was never poor, okay? But I wasn't living in some big mansion and driving Jags and Harleys back then. I was just a normal guy trying to make a living. And what I did was, every time I would win, I would take that winnings and buy more tickets with it, and then I would win more often, and I would win larger amounts, and it just kept snowballing.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing some of your method with us. I do have one question I have to ask you, Mr. Lustig. We're dying to ask you this, which is, they say money can't buy you happiness. True?
I disagree with that. Money can buy you a lot of happiness.
Okay. All right. Richard Lustig is a full-time lottery player, he tells us, and author of the book Learn How to Increase Your Chances of Winning the Lottery. And he joined us from NPR member station WUCF in Orlando, Florida. Ramel Mustafa is a visiting assistant professor at Olin School of Business at the School of Business at Washington University in St. Louis. And he spoke to us from the campus there. If you want to read the study that he's talking about, we'll link to it on our website. Go to npr.org, click on Programs, then on Tell Me More. Gentlemen, thank you both so much for speaking to us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you very much.